You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Engineered in Germany. Proven in Australia. Search Continental Tires today.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Macca's Run on Trade Radio. We do it all for Macca's. Score a 1-in-4 chance to win with a Monopoly game at Macca's. Sam Hargraves flying solo tonight. Matt Rendell with the 3 hours of power with the late trade filling in for Dave Noble. So I will need you to be my expert this evening. 1-300-23-55-48. Your chance to put anything on the trade agenda that you'd like. If you're a regular listener to the Macca's Run and that number is just sounding a bit foreign to you and you've just part of the new audience that's joined us for Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio, just for the next hour, I need you to call 1-300-23-55-48 to get through to have a chat. And 0419-187-323 is the number to text. So different for the regular Macca's Run listeners. And if you are texting through off the app, it won't get through to me right now. So if you do want to text through, 0419-187-323. 0419-187-323 to call 1-300-23-55-48. The Macca's Run on Trade Radio for Macca's. Score a 1-in-4 chance to win with a Monopoly game at Macca's. So a heap to get through tonight. Plenty of news. The biggest story doing the rounds at the moment today is Mark Robinson's report in the Herald Sun that Essendon is tonight expected to announce Brad Scott as its new coach. So we only were hearing the news break yesterday that Brad Scott had even agreed to be interviewed in this process. And that interview is believed to have happened today. So this is the greatest love at first sight moment I think we've seen in football history. According to Mark Robinson's report, though, it's been sort of building over the last week that their interest in Brad Scott had grown. The former North Melbourne coach spent 9.5 years there. He went to 2 prelim finals with North Melbourne before parting ways in 2019. There was a year left to go on his contract then. This is one of the great love stories. Love at first sight. This is date, go out for one date and then propose at the end of it. That's what this is. We thought that the Essendon process was going to be quite a substantial and exhaustive one. And we were told, Ross Lyon said that there was 3 phases to it, but some more experienced coaches would skip through to the second or maybe even the third stage or phase of that interview process. And that would appear what Brad Scott's done. He's currently the AFL's operations boss, has an over 50% winning record. He's 4-4 in finals. And as we said, have been to those 2 prelims, 2-time premiership player with the Brisbane Lions. As a player, we know, just as tough and ruthless as there was. But as a coach as well, was a really well-respected and a highly regarded coach. And especially when you look at what North Melbourne were able to do at the time with the list that they had, he really was able to get that group to gel and get the utmost out of them. And that's all you can ask for any coach, from any coach. Get the most out of this group. Extract every bit of juice from this orange that you can. And he was able to do that on multiple occasions. So that is the story. And we're waiting on confirmation. 1-300-23-55-48, 0419-187-323. But if you can think of, and if you know someone who got engaged after their first date, I'd love to hear about that, because this would appear to be the greatest love at first sight moment in football history. Interviewed today, expected to be announced tonight. Well, they've just fallen head over heels for each other from date one. It's a beautiful thing. 1-300-23-55-48. The other question I wanted to throw up at you tonight, as we work through the news of the day, we were reporting, or it was being reported last night, that Jordan Dugowie, before I get to what I want to throw up at you today, it was being reported yesterday that Jordan Dugowie and Collingwood had agreed to terms. That we knew during the week that Jordan Dugowie had refused and had walked away, not wanting to sign a catch-all contract clause that stipulated that Collingwood could end his contract if they believed he hadn't lived up to the standards that they believed that he should, not wanting to sign with behavioural clauses that they had included within that contract. Last night, we were getting reports that they had agreed to terms. Today, it's being reported by many that actually isn't the case, and that Collingwood, according to the Herald Sun, John Ralph, are saying that they are refusing to withdraw the behavioural clauses in Jordan Dugowie's contract. So it's a massive decision. We heard Damien Barrett earlier saying that Essendon are still in the mix, and Kilda believe that they're still in the mix. So this is far from done, and it's Collingwood's best and fairest night. Copeland Trophy night tomorrow night. They would have been hoping to announce it then, I would have thought. So it's going to be a big 24 hours and a massive decision to be made. We'll take you through what the list boss of St Kilda, James Gallagher, had to say earlier today on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. So Jordan Ngoi, there's still a fair bit to play out there. Collingwood have offered 5 years. They withdrew a contract offer after the Bali trip mid-season and what unfolded there. And according to Damien Barrett, it started off at three, went to four, and is now at five, that contract offer. But the behavioural clauses have been the sticking point. Collingwood not backing down. Jordan Ngoi at the moment not willing to sign those. But the belief is that they will get this done. But with a couple of other clubs lurking, that's a fascinating one and a massive watch this space. The question I want to throw up at you tonight. Have you ever been around to somebody's house? And this is essentially what Antiques Roadshow is, where you go around to someone's house, or if you've ever watched the show Antiques Roadshow, that someone will rock up to these experts and say, I've got this line around the house, I just wanted to see if it's worth anything. And then they find out it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and they had no idea. Or you might go into someone's house and say, geez, what have you got there? I've never seen one of those before. And the person just has no idea what they've got in their possession. Like the person who got rid of a first edition Superman comic at a garage sale years ago, only to now see them sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars, just had no idea what it was and no idea what it was worth and no idea what it could be. We see one of those every year during this trade period. So we've seen it happen with Marby or Chol, with Richmond. Just one man's trash, another man's treasure. Not that these players have been delisted, but maybe they just weren't getting the opportunity at the club, who I'm sure knew what they had, just weren't putting it to good use. Like keeping a really nice car in the garage and never taking it out for a drive. I've thrown three analogies to you all in one, but we've seen it over the last few years. Will Brody from last year, Marby or Chol, 2 metre Peter Wright, Jared Lyons, Ben Keys, Levi Casbolt, Tom Hickey, it's happened for him. Fourth club at Sydney, and they're getting the best out of him. Lipinski, Pat Lipinski, Western Bulldogs just weren't playing him. And Collingwood said, we'll have you. And he went all the way to a prelim with them. So that's my question to you. Who do you see at another club and you think, I don't know if you realise how good that player is? Who would you love to come and just put straight out into the 22 for your team, and you cannot understand week in, week out why that player doesn't get a game, and you think that they could add a whole lot to your team? Jack Bowes is one that we've already been talking about a lot over Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Paddy Dangerfield said he was a big fan today on Melbourne Radio. Fisher Mackesy was a pick six in 2019. Can't get a look in at the Adelaide Crows. Aaron Francis has been in and out the whole time since he was pick six in 2015 at Essendon. Mitch Cleary reporting that the Swans might have an interest there. Luke Tracy at the Freo Dockers can't quite seem to crack a key forward position. Maybe he will now if Rory Lobb goes. But Asava Radigalia is always one that comes up. Braden Fiorini might be on his way to Collingwood. Brandon Parfitt before grand final day would have been the perfect example of one of these players that just, you don't know what you've got till it's gone kind of player. Never really looked like they were going to set the world on fire at one club because they never really got the minutes or the position that they needed to show what they were capable of. The moment they go to a new club, they are a star. Sam Wiedemann could be that player. So I wanted to ask you that. 1300 23 55 48. Chase is in Caulfield. G'day, Chase. You there, Chase?
Hello. How are you?
Hello, mate. Fire away.
I'm there. Yeah, so I'm just asking about Luke Jackson. It's been the talk all season that he's heading home to Western Australia, but I'm still perplexed as to how this deal gets done. I know he probably prefers to go to Fremantle. Melbourne are asking for two top 10 picks, and Fremantle have got one late one. I know they'll get some picks for Lobb, Logue, Akers, whoever else is going out, but I just don't know how this gets done with Melbourne's high asking price.
They often tend to, and we often say this at the start of a trade period, Chase, that, geez, I don't know how they're going to get that done. Like we're saying it about Brisbane at the moment, how are they going to get all the business done that they need? Fremantle will just have to come to the party. They can't afford to have him walked through to the preseason draft where West Coast have got pick two. They will just need to stump up. Melbourne have really got the whip hand. They're going to help Luke Jackson get home, but home, there's two clubs at home. and West Coast still think that they're a chance to land him. They've got pick two. Fremantle don't have a great draft hand yet, so that's why they're trying to do all the business that they are with some of the players to try and accumulate as many picks as they can. That maybe they bundle those up to work their way up the draft. But at the moment, they've got pick 13 and 85. So whilst we sometimes look and say, how are they going to get this done? Where there's a will, there's a way, and they're going to have to give more than they want to, Fremantle, because they just don't have the whip hand in it. Appreciate your call. Ali's in Wollongong. G'day, Ali.
Hi, how are you today? Who should the Swans chase up? Because 3 years we've been runners-up, and I don't like being runners-up.
3 years you've been runners-up to what?
The premiership, the Swans I'm talking about.
So they were runners-up this year?
Yeah, and 2016 and 14 were runners-up.
Yeah, so there's a fair gap between those in terms of what you're doing list-wise. And over that time, since 2016, they've been able to build the list that they've got now. I don't think you want for much, Ali. Maybe another key defender. That might be why there's the interest, according to Mitch Cleary and Aaron Francis. Possibly another inside mid. But you seem to have a lot of bases covered. I mean, you did make the grand final. Yep, you got a pantsing in the grand final, but your list, and it's a young list too. So there's players that are going to develop even further next year and take another step forward next year. So I think you should have real faith in the list. There could be a little piece here and there, but I don't think you should be. I don't think this is a trade period where you're going to have to make massive moves. What do you think that your club needs?
I was talking to Ryze Macker from YouTube, maybe a midfielder, hungry midfielder, and maybe a key forward. That's what I was thinking.
Right. So you've got Buddy Franklin's got another year. Logan McDonald, who was unlucky to miss the grand final. You've got Amati. You've got McLean. Sam Reed will go around again. I think you're pretty well stocked there as well. But if you could find a ready-to-go key forward, but they're not. They're not a dime a dozen, unfortunately. But I appreciate your call and your thoughts. Peter's in Cranbourne. G'day, Pete.
Hello.
Hello. Far away, Pete. You're on air.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I've got a what-if question for you that I've thought about for a long time. Brad Scott and Brett Scott, both being twins. Chris Scott, sorry. If the tables had have been turned and Brett had have gone to Geelong and Chris North, do you think Brett would be a premiership coach by now with all the support he would have got at Geelong and then vice versa at North Melbourne with they haven't got as much support and what they've recruited? So should he have been a premiership coach by now if he went to the other club?
So the question is, if Brad Scott had gone to Geelong and not Chris, would Brad Scott have been a premiership coach?
Exactly right.
Oh, it's a big hypothetical. I don't see why not. Chris has got two. Could Brad have got one in one of the other years? It depends on what you think is the most important thing about winning a premiership. Or is it the sum of all parts? You know, Chris Scott, his final record had been criticised over the journey, but his home and away record is second to none. Would Brad Scott have been any better in finals? The compliment that Brad Scott gets is he took a North Melbourne list that wasn't as strong on paper as what other top four teams were, and he went to a couple of prelims. So, it'd be a toss of the coin for me. Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to put a bit more thought into it, Pete. But what do you think? Do you think Brad Scott would have been a premiership coach if he had gone to Geelong instead of North?
Yeah, if the tables were turned and being twins, similar mindsets, all that sort of stuff, ex-premiership players.
Well, they don't share a brain, Pete. They do think for themselves.
But how twins think in common and all that sort of stuff, you would think with the facilities he's got at Geelong with their recruiting and everything that they've got there, which North Melbourne didn't have at the time, would that make him a prep? Should we look at him as a possible premiership coach if he had been at Geelong?
Well, I don't know if there was ever the option for him to go to Geelong, Pete. So it's really just imagine if sort of thing. Not even a what if. I mean, a what if would be if Geelong, and I'd have to go back and have a look at it. If Geelong's choice at the time when they took Chris was we either take Chris or Brad, then I guess you could get stuck into that. But I don't even know if that was the choice at the time. But hey, it's a great conversation point to throw up, and I appreciate you doing it. We'll take a break and come back. Josh, Angus, Jared, stay right there and we'll get your calls on the other side of this. The Maccas run on Trade Radio for Maccas. Score a 1 in 4 chance to win with the Monopoly game at Maccas.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Engineered in Germany. Proven in Australia. Search Continental Tires today.
Before we get to the Beaumont Tiles news update, we'll keep working through your calls. Josh is in Georgetown in Tassie. G'day, Josh.
Yeah, good day, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What do you got for me?
Well, first of all, that last question about Brad Scott, that was a shocker. But I've got a story about what you were talking about before, about someone being undervalued and underappreciated.
Yeah, just a diamond in the rough that another team might come along and polish. We see a lot of those over the years, Josh, when a player can't really get a look in at one club and then goes to another and becomes cemented in their best 22.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a story about myself about that. I was the captain of the B-grade cricket team, put in all the hard words,
yes,
the hard yards. And then, anyway, my coach, he ended up sacking me, Sam Cook. So I went over to the crosstown rival, scored 900 runs in 8 games and never looked back. And now the club's folded this year, so karma. Karma's a bit cookie. Sucked in, mate.
Okay. So Josh has been waiting patiently just to give himself one almighty pump-up. So not only has Josh just been the greatest unearthed talent in Tasmanian cricket, going from B-grade captain then to the A-grade star, but the loss of him prompted a club to actually fold. That's the definition of an impact player. Thank you for your call, Josh. Jared in Perth. G'day, Jared.
G'day. How's it going?
I'm well, thanks. You want to talk about the Bombers?
Oh, I certainly do, but I've got to give Josh call of the day.
Yes.
Look, it's just about the process to find the coach for Essendon.
Yep.
You've got a feel for all the assistant coaches that went through this 1, 2, 3, and in some cases 4 steps to get a coach, hand over all their IPA, all their intellectual property, and then literally they're all ignored and, first date and, now it's a new coach. You've got a feel, particularly for Adam Uzay, I reckon.
Yeah, so Adam Uzay is believed to have been interviewed twice. The first official interview for Brad Scott was today, and that's why I went with the love at first sight. And as I'm rightfully told off the text, and I'm aware of what Mitch Cleary's reported as well, Mitch Cleary's been on this for a while, that there's been interest from Essendon in Brad Scott. That's been bubbling away for a couple of weeks, but he was in his operations role at the AFL and needed to see the season through. So they have had informal chats, gauging interest, things like that. But the first official interview was today. So there's a couple of people not liking the love at first sight analogy off the text, and I totally understand that. I was having a bit of fun with it. We understand from Mitch Cleary's reporting from Channel 7 that there'd been conversations with Essendon, and according to Mitch Cleary, the appointment of Andrew Welsh as a director was a big part of getting Brad Scott into the process officially and over the line. So it may seem like this is a knee-jerk, Jared, but from what Mitch reports, that there's been informal chat. And Gil McLachlan had said when he was asked about the possibility of Brad Scott a few weeks ago, I think he was interviewed Melbourne Radio and said that he would be encouraging, if it was a job that Brad wanted, then he'd be encouraging him to go through the process. And so there was no hard feelings there. The AFL was supportive from what we understand. Appreciate the call, Jared. Angus in Beaumaris. G'day, Angus.
Hey, mate. How you going?
I'm well, thank you. Have you got a diamond in the rough? Who's got a diamond that could be polished somewhere else?
Oh, I'll tell you what. So, yeah, this man, Quinton Narkle from Geelong, is one I, much like the rest of the footy world, fell in love with when he started playing. So it's sad to see him not having a contract at the moment, but given a Saints man, I'd absolutely love him down at Moorabbin. Obviously, hypothetical, nothing's been said to link the two. But, given Saints going after DeGoey, for example, because he's that big, big game play. We need that X factor, that speed and ferociousness in the midfield that can win your finals. We don't really have that at the moment. You know, you've got Steele, Crouch, Ross. They're all handballers, all tough, but no one to really explode away from stoppages and win those big games. That's where we need to go. Obviously, look, if the most likely happens, which I believe he'll re-sign, I think someone like Nicholson's definitely worth a punt and unearth a bit of potential, because I think he's definitely got that potential. We need speed. Zach Jones is another one, but he's just too inconsistent at the moment. So I think he's certainly someone, at least St Kilda could take a punt on, because that's definitely a need in our list, especially our midfield. Hence the Dugowie pursuit. But if that falls through, obviously, I think Narkle would definitely be worth a shout. What do you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. I'm like you. I'm a fan of Quinton Narkle. He was delisted by Geelong. So he's out there for clubs to get and not have to give up anything for. So, Angus, it's a great call from you. I would be staggered if Quinton Narkle didn't find another home. I think he's performed just about every time he's been given an opportunity to, and I think that he would make a fantastic acquisition at just about any club that he went to, as long as they were a club that were genuinely going to play him, not just stockpile him. Thank you for your call. Max is in Fremantle. G'day, Max.
Hey, mate. I was just wondering about Fremantle's contract situation with a lot of players, and there's a bit of an exodus. Is there a salary cap squeeze at Fremantle? And surely they could have back-ended a few of the players' contracts.
I'm not aware that it's a salary cap squeeze. What the belief is that it is trying to get picks in to try and get a deal done for Luke Jackson. So there's a lot of movement in order to try and get Luke Jackson in the door. So that's my understanding, is that there isn't a salary cap squeeze. It's really just about trying to get him through the door. And to do that, they're going to have to trade players out to get picks in, and then I would imagine bundle those picks up to move up the draft to satisfy what Melbourne are going to need, Max. So, it's from what I understand, not a salary cap issue. It's simply just trying to get a better draft hand issue. And for some of the players, it's about getting better opportunity elsewhere, like a Griffin Logue, who, you know, was a top 10 draft pick in his year, but wants to be a defender, was getting played up forward as a makeshift forward, and wants to play in the role that he believes is the best fit for him and his career. So there's a bit of wanting more opportunity for some players, and there's a bit of we need to get a better draft hand. Thanks for your call, Max. So members of the Essendon Footy Club are now receiving an email from the Bombers and from the president to say that Brad Scott has been appointed as senior coach. So, dear members, on behalf of the Essendon Football Club Board, I'm delighted to write and officially announce to you first that Brad Scott has been appointed as the senior coach of our men's AFL team. This is a significant appointment and another important step forward in the progress of our club. To reach this appointment, we established a clear and structured coaching recruitment process to ensure we found the right person to take our club forward. The coaching process was diligent in its approach and detailed in its execution. It began with a short list of over 22 candidates and included a demanding interview process, game-style presentations, and external personality profiling to ensure we had the full picture of the successful candidate. The coaching subcommittee met for the final time this afternoon to finalise their recommendation. This recommendation was then fully endorsed by the board at the meeting this evening. The group consisted of Robert Walls, Jordan Lewis, Simone McInnes, OAM, Andrew Thorburn, Dorothy Hisgrove, and Josh Marnie, who was the chair, all worked incredibly hard over the past month to reach their recommendation. I would like to thank each member of this group for their professionalism and commitment to confidentiality throughout this process. The subcommittee was designed to bring a unique and diverse lens to the coaching process, and I've been incredibly impressed with their work. And as a board, we have enormous confidence in the outcome it delivered. Throughout the process, it was clear the club required a strong leader, and Brad's track record as a player, coach, and administrator demonstrated this. Goes through Brad's resume, which is a fantastic one as a player and as a coach, and now as an official. Brad has an incredible resume, as it just says there, with a diverse range of roles and his experience figure. The club required, we believe Brad has all the attributes to be the long-term coach of the Essendon Footy Club. He's a strong leader who will drive standards and establish a winning culture. The message goes on to say to our players, staff and members, please join me in welcoming Brad, his wife Penny, his two children Fletcher and Charles into the Essendon family. This is clearly a significant day and another positive step forward for the club. We are under no illusions about the hard work ahead of us. By the same token, we are excited about the challenge of building a club that our members are proud of and one that delivers sustained on-field success. Thank you and go Bombers. That is from Dave Barham, the president of the Essendon Football Club, confirming that Brad Scott is the new senior coach of the Bombers. Back after this on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Trade up to Continental Tires. Engineered in Germany. Proven in Australia. Search Continental Tires today. A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. Hey Tylers, need stock fast? Beaumont Tiles are ready to help with over 115 outlets stocked up.
The big news of the day, of course, Brad Scott officially appointed as Essendon's new coach. So currently the AFL operations boss, former North Melbourne coach, 14 and 15, they went to preliminary finals. He was there for 9.5 years, over 200 games as a coach, and now back in the coach's chair. It was interesting last year, or was it earlier this year, that I reckon it was Chris Scott was on Footy Classified, and they said, would you encourage Brad to get back into coaching? And he said, no, I wouldn't. It's an incredibly tough job. But it would seem that with some time out of the game since 2019, halfway through when he finished up with the North Melbourne Footy Club, that the desire to coach was still burning with Brad Scott, and he will become Essendon's new coach. And that's been announced in an email from Dave Barham, the president of the Essendon Footy Club, to the members, and a few of you having your say off the text. It'll be interesting to see what James Hurd does now, if he was serious about being a head coach again. I think he'll have to find an assistant job at a club and now build the resume back up. That will be a really interesting watch. Clearly, James Hurd is keen to coach. I think a lot of that desire, though, was wanting to coach Essendon again. So it'll be a fascinating wait and see to hear about what James might do next and whether he will look to get a locked-in and official assistant coach's role. We know he's been in the leadership mentoring role at the Giants, and he helped out Mark McVay in the coach's box when he came in to replace Leon Cameron as their interim coach. But clearly there's part of James Hurd that still wants to coach, so that'll be fascinating to see what he decides to do. Of course, the first official interview with Brad Scott was believed to be today. Mitch Cleary from Channel 7 has been reporting that the interest had been bubbling away for a while, and there'd been some informal conversations happening, which has come through from Anthony off the text. And when I, with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, given that the first official interview was today and we got the official announcement tonight, said that it's the greatest love-at-first-sight story that we've seen in the AFL, proposing after the first date. Those sentiments are sensationalist. You have no idea the number of times and length that Brad Scott has spoken to the selection panel members. Stop feeding the rumour beast and be the change in the media. So many, and that's in capitals, people are wanting to see, and that's accuracy and integrity. If you're offended by that, then I do apologise. But the first official interview was today, and the announcement tonight. So they knew who they wanted. They got him in. Obviously, he ticked every box that they wanted him to tick. And then the decision was made and the new coach announced. Other news today. Jack Bowes is a player that's being discussed more and more. We know that the salary dump is on for the Gold Coast Suns. Jack Bowes is being offered up, who, according to Matt Rendell, has $850,000 owing to him for next year and the year after, but he's been offered up along with pick 7. This was Craig Cameron on Jack Bowes and the salary cap squeeze earlier today on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio.
Yeah, we had a look at which phase that we were moving into in terms of our list. We felt that probably, you know, back in 2018 when we started to rebuild the list after Tom Lynch and Stephen May and a couple of other players left, that we had to go to the draft heavily, and we did for 3 years, really. You know, in 2018, we had three early picks, 2019, four sort of early picks, and then even 2020, where we only drafted Elijah Hollins, we also acquired Alex Davies and Joel Jeffrey. So we went through a real phase of stabilising the list, bringing in some other players as well, like Brandon Ellis and even last year with Marbior and Levi, to really stabilise the list and try and rise up the ladder. And in that process, a lot of that time, you're sort of collecting talent through the draft. We think we need to move to the next phase, which is we need to build the team that we think can actually get us into the finals, get us to top four and have a crack at winning. And when you acquire a lot of talent early in the draft, it can have an ability to put some stress on your player payments. And our feeling was that we needed to engineer our player payments for the next phase so that we actually can take advantage of top-end free agents and players in the trade that are now showing a genuine interest in coming to our football club. And we need to actually find the players that help us get take that quantum leap to try and compete with some of the clubs at the top end. So we're sort of taking a preemptive shot at trying to correct some of our payments, but also understanding that we know in our forecasting where our salary cap gaps are coming, and we want to try and take advantage of that a bit.
So that was our list boss at the Suns, Craig Cameron, speaking on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio earlier today about Jack Bowes. So Mitch Cleary, Cal Toomey from AFL.com.au, and you hear him every day from midday on the AFL Trade Radio. He was reporting yesterday that Brisbane Lions have got a big interest in securing Jack Bowes and that pick seven, which will help them do the business that they need to do to get Will Ashcroft and Jasper Fletcher as father sons, and to help them facilitate a deal for Josh Dunkley, who won the Western Bulldogs Best and Fairest last night. Today, Cal also reporting that North Melbourne interested in securing Jack Bowes and that pick seven. Geelong were the first team reported to have an interest in Jack Bowes, and it was put to Paddy Dangerfield today that he's a big fan of Jack Bowes after Mitch Cleary from Channel 7 reported that Paddy Dangerfield very much likes the cut of the Jack Bowes jib. This was Danger today on SEN, which we'll get to that one in just a moment. Let's move through. We'll get that audio up in just a tick. So, Josh, we do have it now. This is Paddy Dangerfield.
It's I'm a big fan. I've watched him a heck of a lot this year, to be honest, and for previous seasons as well. And I think he would look very, very good in the hoops. He's a bit of a taller mid, but he's also versatile. He's a bit of a kick. It sort of reminds me a bit of Mitch Duncan in the fact that he's really nice left foot. He's got nice poise. Isn't that the beauty of sport? We were lucky enough to win it, but all of a sudden now it's like, how can we get better? Because we know every other team in the competition is doing the same. So that's the beauty of trade period, I think.
Paddy Dangerfield on Jack Bowes. Josh Dunkley won the Western Bulldogs Charles Sutton medal last night. First player since Lachie Neal in 2018-19 to win a best and fairest after requesting a trade. Michael Riscatelli did it in 2010-11 at Brisbane and then going to the Gold Coast. Interesting that Matt Rendell yesterday spoke about, when I asked him, who do you think are the clubs that do trade week better than anybody? He didn't hesitate in naming Geelong and Stephen Wells. And one of the reasons he gave is because Stephen Wells doesn't look for a win-lose, doesn't look to win the deal. He looks to do a win-win for both parties involved. So they don't ever look to hold you over the coals, and they don't expect to be held over the coals themselves. They look to give to get, and vice versa. So very amicable is Stephen Wells. I wonder whether the deal is going to be amicable between Sam Power and Dom Ambrosio from the Western Bulldogs and the Brisbane Lions respectively, when this was what Luke Beveridge had to say when congratulating Josh Dunkley last night.
And the obvious thing is that the Lions are going to have to pony up. Sammy's going to go to work on that over the next week or two.
So there we go. The Lions are going to have to pony up. So we're off to a great start. And of course, Bevo is very passionate and they'll want to get the best deal they can. But I reckon that's a reason why these days coaches are involved less and less in these negotiations. And it is the list managers and the footy managers that do these deals because they take the emotion out of it. And clearly, Luke Beveridge has got a lot of love for Josh Dunkley, and why wouldn't you? So that's going to be fascinating to see that deal play out. James Gallagher was on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio today and spoke about St Kilda's interest in Jordan Dugowie.
Look, he is. So we've had a number of conversations, with Jordan and his management over a few months now. So he's got a big decision to make, the time's coming pretty quickly for that decision. So, I anticipate in the next two or three days he'll make that call. That will shape a little bit about what we do, over the next couple of weeks. We think he'd be an outstanding fit for our footy club and our footy team. He's an exceptional player. He's a big game player, and he's got plenty of footy in front of him. So we think he'd work in really, really well with our group and our club. But, he's a Collingwood player. He's been there for a long time. He's got some pretty strong relationships there. So, it's a big decision for him, and I think we'll all know a bit more in the next couple of days.
The list boss at the St Kilda Footy Club, James Gallagher, speaking to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio earlier today. Just on Jordan Ngoi as we go to the break, this was Damien Barrett speaking about the other club that has a strong interest in Jordan Ngoi. And there'd been reports that this club had even recently met and sent a delegate of players and officials to meet with Jordan Ngoi, who still, contrary to reports last night, we believe hasn't signed yet with the Collingwood Footy Club. Their best and fairest tomorrow night. I'm sure they would have been hoping to announce it then, but there's still a fair bit to play out. Damo says that there is a third team that are circling Jordan Ngoi.
Soss and Maddie, we can tell you today that the Essendon Footy Club hasn't given up hope, even at this very late stage of potentially getting into the conversations with Jordan Ngoi. They were certainly were a club of interest during the course of the season. The narrowing down and the fine-tuning of their coach search, Brad Scott being interviewed today by the Bombers. If that was to all go well today, they might be in a position to either go with him or whoever it is they want to go in the next 24 to 48 hours publicly, at least to give some clarity as to who will be the coach and to maybe properly have a conversation with Jordan Ngoi with certainty as to who their coach is next year. So they're the three clubs still in the mix. I still feel, Soss, that he will wade through these behavioural clause issues with the Collingwood Footy Club and stay. But as we keep saying in this business, until the signature is on the line, it's yet to be official.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Engineered in Germany. Proven in Australia. Search Continental Tires today.
The Daily Wash-Up, all thanks to Pope. Pope, the better way to water. Make the connection with Pope's range on reliable garden watering systems. As you would have heard a few times, Brad Scott, officially the new coach of the Essendon Football Club. First official interview today. Discussions had been ongoing, but officially interviewed today for the first time. And part of the process, it was reported yesterday that... and again, use that word officially, that Brad Scott would take part in the interview process, interview today and announced as coach tonight. And I did use the love at first sight, propose after the first date analogy, and people took umbrage to that, saying you don't know how long they've been talking. Well, I'm going to continue with that analogy because if you've ever matched with your partner on a dating app, like I have with the beautiful Evie, then you spoke on the messages before you met in person. So this would be the equivalent. Yeah, we've been speaking a bit and then we decided to have our first date and we just loved each other that much that we got engaged. That's not what happened to the beautiful Evie and I, but that's the analogy works. You can still have been speaking for a fair while, just messaging back and forth, gauging each other's interest and then deciding to meet for the first time. So it's an exciting, exciting night for the Essendon Footy Club. A couple other things doing the rounds in the wash-up, all thanks to Pope, the better way to water. Darcy Gardner from the Brisbane Lions has signed a three-year contract. He won't be exercising free agency rights, but Tom Berry from the Lions has requested to be traded to the Gold Coast Suns. And interesting that Craig Cameron, the list manager at the Gold Coast Suns, was actually asked about Tom Berry today on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio on a few issues, but this was Craig Cameron on Tom Berry.
Yeah, we see Tom coming in to be a pressure forward for us and help. We're a side that obviously likes to keep the ball in our forward half and can see that Tom would come in and really assist us in that. He's an ultra-competitive player. He's got good speed and he loves to tackle, so he's got all the attributes as a pressure forward. He's a high-quality young man, so we think he'll really add to our group.
And we had a person messaging before asking, what will Sydney do? Well, Tom Harley, their CEO, was actually speaking to Gary and Tim today and said they won't be making any big moves in this trade period. So that's a wash-up. All thanks to Pope. This has been Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. We'll see you all again same time tomorrow.